And we'll eventually have four guests in our studio, but for anybody that's been in the studio, it's a small room and we're going to go two and two today, but we're also doing that for another reason. But we'll welcome Mike Clausen and Krista, what's your last name?
Reynolds.
And we'll get you to tell us just what your involvement is with the project first, Mike. How did you get involved in this?
A few years ago, I attended an environmental education and communication conference in Regina and met with fellow Manitobans, Dr. Rick Wishart and Bob Adamson, and they offered a $5,000 startup grant through Ducks Unlimited Canada to start up a wetland center of excellence at our school. And I'd just taken over the principalship at Rivers Collegiate, and after meeting with Donna Morgan, we started talking about my vision of wetlands and nature-based learning, and she had a grander plan for the community and involvements of expanding that into a much larger project, and it's continuing to grow and grow every day for us.
You'll understand if I suggest to you that for me this is a really well-kept secret.
Yes.
Huh? And likely if it for me, because I don't get out much, but I do try and keep track of what's happening in and around the area. It's probably a lot of people listening to us today are hearing about it for the first time as well.
I think so, yeah.
So give us a thumbnail on what it is. Where is it located from the town?
Right now we are about a kilometer east of the actual town site, just north of the soccer pitches. And we're just back, just off Aspen Trail, if people are familiar with the area there. And just west of the lake.
So a well-established wetland.
It's
an old area.
It's an old CNR reclaim area.
Okay.
And we were wandering through there one day with our school students, and a few of us started talking about what we could potentially use this for. And I know at the elementary school, through some of the other teachers in the past, they've used it for critter dipping and part of their science programs. And what we've done at the high school now is expand upon that, and we've started a wetlands management project and course. So,
we won't go into it this morning because we don't have time, but I think most people should be, if they're not, they should be aware by now of what a valuable cleansing area a wetland is for and how important it is. You know, in the old days, we just looked at it as a kind of a waste piece of land we could maybe grow something on if it wasn't so low and wet. But
that's right, and I think we're somewhere in the 50-70% of the wetlands have been removed from Manitoba at this point, and I think this is a opportunity for our students to learn about their importance and kind of foster that into the next generation.
So, Krista, how do you plug into this?
So I'm the principal at Rivers Elementary. Mm-hmm. So as Mike mentioned, for you know, any parents or people who've been part of Rivers Elementary, this is not an unfamiliar area to us. We've, you know, have been critter dipping and walking in the area for many, many years. And so now this area has been taken and made into what we think will be a fabulous learning experience for the children at the elementary. So I'm currently sitting on the committee supporting the group as best that I can to find a way in for our children, which is kindergarten to grade six.
Yeah. Not knowing anything about why you guys came here, I mean, I don't want to miss anything on this segment before we boot you out and bring two more people in here. So what do I miss? What do you want to get across this morning?
Well, I think Donna and Laura will talk a little bit more about how some of the funding that's happening,
okay,
the support from the Rivers area and Brandon area and Winnipeg. We've got a lot of support from places like Fort White, Thomas Sill Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
She'll speak to that a little bit more. And I think for us, the educational value of the Wetlands Project and reconnecting students to nature, and some of the research in the last 10 or 15 years is showing that kids are not going outside, not participating in outdoor activities as much anymore.
Yeah.
And we're down to, read a research study just recently that we're down to almost 10% of kids are going outside daily, and other than just you know, from the car to the school, and that sort of thing, that are participating and engaged in outdoor learning.
One of my pet concerns is that when field trips are taken, we tend to take kids. We seem to think we have to take kids a long way from home to find something interesting to see and different to see. And it's just, I think it's great you guys are developing this, right?
Yeah, for both schools, we can pretty much walk. For the high school, it's a little bit longer of a walk. We're about 20 minutes to the wetlands. For the elementary, it's about, well, shorter legs with some of them, but it's about 10, 15 minutes for them. And it's a manageable, cheap option for us to run a science program.
And it's there all year.
Experience. Yeah, we've done some winter ecology there already in the past, and we've done some winter celebration. We've skated on the on the pond. We've done some things like that as well.
So will it, I know this sounds kind of ludicrous in a way, but is there development that you'll be doing there?
Yes.
Obviously, you want to maintain the eco-ness of it.
But. And we're looking at something, like here in Brandon, there's the Discovery Center that is a similar type of model that we're looking at, working with Ducks Unlimited, with Oak Hammock and Fort White. We do a lot of work with them right now. And we're looking at building a bit of a boardwalk so that we can have students out there without getting them completely soaked. Mm-hmm. Docks so that kids can go out and do critter dipping, do some water quality testing, that sort of thing. And then we're hopeful that we can have a large outdoor classroom put up there within the next 6 to 12 months and offer not only a venue for our schools to use but for our community to also access.
And are you looking farther down the road in that this may well become a destination point for other people, other schools?
Yes, we have two schools right now that will be coming to be they'll be taught by our either our grade 10 or our grade 12 class students, teaching them about wetlands and wetlands management and doing, you know, right now the main activity that they'll be presenting would be the critter dipping and finding what's living in there. And down the road, we're also looking at potential dual credit opportunities for our students to work either with BU or with ACC.
But, man, can you ever tie this into a lot of
curricular
activities?
Well, and anything under environmental ed. And I'm an environmentalist at heart and have a background in environmental ed. And I feel that just about every subject area can be taught underneath that umbrella. And
I don't think there's anything that couldn't.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for our community and for our school and the teachers to take advantage of. Yeah. So.
And for us at the elementary, we see the young children, you know, growing in this area. They'll first learn from older children, and then they'll develop some pride and some initiative in it. And as they move into the high school, they'll also participate in the program. And so we're expecting that the program will continue to grow through the high school, through the elementary. So.
Anybody who's ever tried to plant and grow a tree on a school grounds knows it's important to the kids have ownership.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
These guys will grow up with that.
And one of the things we have coming up in 2 weeks, I believe, we have 92,000 trees that are going to be planted in the wetlands area in the Millennium Park area through Trees Canada. And our students will be involved in planting those seedlings and working alongside experts and community
members.
Wouldn't
it be nice if the public schools finance board would count carbon credits?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys be in line for a lot of dollars. Anything else? I'm trying to split the time up equally here.
Sure. We're quite thankful for the support from our school division and also from our community, because we know that this isn't a project that we could do on our own. And so knowing that we have, you know, the support of our superintendents and assistant superintendent as well, the teachers working within it, they're doing a lot of hard work to bring together for young children and for older children. So it's a pretty exciting project for us.
Yeah, and I think Donna will probably talk about some of the supporters, but we've, you know, Krista's mentioned the Town of Rivers, Rolling River School Division. We've had nothing but wonderful support from local and provincial and national groups that are wanting this to take off. And it started out as a pretty small project, and now we're looking at down the road as almost a 20-year-plus type project.
Yeah.
And We're implementing it into many of our classes. We've got approximately 10 classes that use the wetlands as a backdrop right now, and wetlands management, outdoor education, our visual arts class, sciences, wind and solar, sustainable energy course. Like it's endless.
Yeah, it is. Well, every school and every community needs a signature piece, and this is perfect. Thanks
for
coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to switch out our guests. Boy, this is just like the big time. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes. I should repeat our previous two guests were Krista Reynolds, who is principal of the elementary school, and Mike Clausen is principal of the high school in Rivers, and replaced by Donna Morkin and Laura Key. And good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. It's Kemp
Thorn.
You
want to tell us, pardon?
I said it's Laura Kemp Thorn.
Oh!
That's all right, though. That's all right.
I have a K-E Kemp Thorn. How did that? I'm going to blame RJ for
sure,
that.
Sure, let's blame RJ.
Thanks for that. And when I don't have an opportunity, I always check the names, but didn't have a chance. Okay, Laura, you start. What's your connection?
Well, my connection is I am the general manager for the Brandon Area Community Foundation.
Of course you are.
Yes, and I've got to know Donna through the Rivers Foundation, and we had the pleasure of granting out $10,000 to this project for them. And so that's why I'm here, just to be a support person
and
for this.
And we've talked before about how you partner with a variety of different foundations.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what can you tell us what attracted the committee or the foundation to supporting this one?
Well, Donna had supplied a grant application through our process, and it was put toward the grant committee for consideration. And the project actually met various criteria for us: environmental, youth, education, seniors, health. And really, that's exactly what foundation work is about, is building communities, but not only within the Rivers, but it's an extension to Brandon and a lot of rural part of our area. It's perfect for field trips. Educational-wise, not only Brandon students will be able to go on field trips, but it's going to be for rural schools all throughout.
Yeah.
To come. And Phil Weiss and I, our chair, we went out and met with Donna and went through the wetlands, and it's a phenomenal with the bike paths, this cross-country ski paths, with the soccer fields, and the extension of the bike trail that goes through to the seniors, to the hospital, and throughout the community. I mean, it's a great project, and we just felt that this was something we wanted to be a part of.
Well, and we talked about it this morning. Did you guys hear the first segment?
No, we didn't.
That's too bad. It was good.
Yeah.
but we talked about, you know, the community and the school, you know, and I have some experience in my past with community schools, and we didn't talk a lot about the community, mostly about the schools and the opportunities there, but it is a community opportunity, right? I mean, mm-hmm. when you talk
Absolutely.
About it, we talked about all the different things they could tie into the curriculum through this wetlands project, but the community can tie in as well.
Oh, absolutely, Bill. It is just, this project has so many community components to it. There's probably at least 15 different organizations that are on board right now
yeah.
with this, and it's only going to grow.
And is it you through the foundation?
Yes.
Or are you connected in some
way? You know, in small communities, you sit with several hats.
I do.
Well, that's part of it. But this is a strategic project for our community, for the Rivers and Area Community Foundation. And we just looked at it for the same reasons mm-hmm. that the Brandon and Area Community Foundation looked at it and said, you know what, this is just huge.
Yeah.
And it's for everybody.
And you've tapped a number of, I've written grant applications for Thomas Sill as well. Not an expert, but I have a fair bit of experience in that area. And there are a number of areas where you can tap into to get financial support.
Absolutely. And actually, Thomas Sill was the first foundation to come on board. We had Hugh Arkley come out, who's the executive director. And he came out and we tromped all through
wow.
the wetlands area. And Hugh looked at this and he said, we want to be the catalyst.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I never met anybody from the foundation. I just submitted
oh, yeah.
my little grant. We exchanged a couple of letters, and that was it.
Yeah.
Well, in that, I think that sort of keys in on why people support projects like this. It just makes sense from so many different directions.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, I could sit here and rhyme off all the organizations that are on board with this, but that wouldn't even cover all of them,
mm-hmm.
really, because it just goes from the Little Saskatchewan River Conservation District to, you know, the local rivers and area game and fish, and it just goes on and on and
yeah.
on.
I maybe should have asked Mike this question, but it's a fairly stable area, I presume?
Oh, yeah. What it is, actually, was a CN gravel pit
right.
that has been reclaimed over the years, And so now there's a little wetland area that's been created there. And it's amazing. There's a pathway now, and has been for quite a while, from the edge of rivers through the Millennium Park right down to the lake and back. But this will just only enhance that whole area. So, yeah.
So going forward, what will be some of the things that you'll be involved in?
Well, for us... which hat are you asking me with?
Well, you can lump them all together. But, you know, I know that, you know, as a project, there'll always be something. But I see this as being more manageable than some other major projects in terms of it's a natural resource. And so you want to leave it natural. So there's not a lot of concrete and
that's right.
And fences that you're going to have to worry about.
You're right, Bill. I think the biggest thing is we need to get the classroom. There's an outdoor classroom that needs to be built. So, and I'm not sure I missed Mike and Krista's.
They talked about that as being one of the projects.
Yeah, that's the biggest project, and that's where BACF came in to help us with. But we're still going to need further funding, so we're working on that end of it to get the classroom, the outdoor classroom done. And we have Manitoba Hydro on board. They're planting trees, and we have Tree Canada on board. With 92,000.
I heard 93,000.
Yeah, about that.
We should stay consistent.
Yeah. Okay.
But the outdoor classroom then, I would have thought that was the outdoor classroom. So can you tell us what sort of facilities?
Well, the outdoor classroom, you're right. It is the outdoor area with the docks.
The wetlands is the classroom.
Yes. But we also need a classroom where the students can come in and the teachers can talk about things that are happening. And this is, we need you to look for this.
So are we talking walls and roof?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we are. And that we're just in the stages of figuring out what the walls and the roof are going to look like. We have an initial diagram done with HTFC out of Winnipeg. They're a planning and design group, and so the committee has been sitting and having a look and saying, okay, we like this, but we need this tweaked and we need that tweaked. So we're in the tweaking stage with the planning and design group.
Yeah, and it'll be, I mean, having a structure there will formalize, make it a lot easier for teachers to plan an outing or a day, weather regardless kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a part of it. Like even in that wetlands area, there's the wind comes down from the northwest when you're out standing there. So you've kind of got to turn the building a little bit so that you can, you know, still talk to the students and so on, and you're not being blown halfway across the prairie.
Well, it's an exciting project, and I think, Laura, the foundation's to be congratulated for seeing the potential there and getting involved.
Well, we have a great grants committee group, and of course all recommendations go to the board, but it really, after it passed all the criteria, it was really a no-brainer for the board to be on board with it, with Donna. And you know, Donna had called me earlier that year and said, you know, what do you think, should we put in an application? And we did some talking, and she explained it to me, and I said yes, by all means. And that's kind of the whole process. We don't know about all the projects that are available, and it's nice when people start phoning in and we can talk about it, and I can help them out with the application.
And when you were here last time, we talked about you know, people taking the initiative to contact and getting your help in terms of even filling out the application.
Exactly. I mean, we're there to help. We're not really there to say no, this isn't a good project, and maybe some projects aren't ready yet for us. But at least they're on our radar, and we can go back to them and say, okay, have you got this part together yet? And really for us, we like to see other funding partners part of the project. We can't give all the money to the whole entire project. We're not that big yet. But this group had lots of funding partners, and, you know, it was a win-win throughout. So.
Well, and sometimes you can get real lucky and get a matching.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely, Bill. And I think, and I'm not sure, like I said, I missed what Mike had to say, but I know that this project is a one-of-a-kind project across Canada.
I think it'll become a destination spot for a lot of, well, certainly for a lot of schools. And and I said during the first segment, I'm kind of puzzled by how far we haul students on a field trip when there's some great things to see right around here.
Yes.
Thanks for the info. Sorry for the confusion.
No problem.
No problem.
Laura Kempthorne from the Brandon Area Foundation and Donna Morkins, part of the organizing group for the Rivers Wetlands Center of Excellence. Excellent choice of names. And thanks, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
That's our show. We have an open program tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye for now.